Hey everyone, welcome to Black Women with Opinions, the podcast. I'm Eb.
I'm Mandy.
I'm Sia.
And this is a safe space for Black women to give their unfiltered opinions about anything and everything.
We hope you're ready for a good time.
Okay.
Hey you all, welcome back.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, welcome back for our episode, you all. We're excited about this episode. It's going to be a good conversation, I think.
I agree.
But first off, how are you ladies doing? How are you doing, Mandy?
Doing pretty good.
Okay.
Hanging in there.
Okay.
Just found out that I have an ear infection, which is weird.
Yes, y'all.
I feel like you too old. Because I'm in my 30s. So is that something grown-ups get? I didn't know. but it explains why I've been feeling like crap. So, it won't just go away. So
y'all should have seen my face. I was like, what?
Ear infection. Girl, I said I'm 32, not 3. I'm not. So, yeah. But I'm about to pick up my medicine and, you know. Hopefully be feeling better.
Yeah. It's good when you see finding out what something is, but some every time you wait for the diagnosis, I feel like when you get older, it's like, huh?
Where did that come from?
Yeah. What? Me? Are you sure?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was weird, but it's been a pretty good week.
That's good.
I am very much looking forward to the weekend and getting some rest because I swear I've been running on fumes for days and I'm feeling burnout like around the corner. So I'm just really looking forward to just being able to, I can't sit and do nothing because we got baby showers and birthday stuff and all of that stuff. But at least it's like stuff that I don't have to use that organizing inside of my brain. Like, it's like we can just go and just have a good time.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah.
That's good. That's nice.
How you doing, Sia Boo?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. Yeah, I got a Stanley's in there. I feel very
bougie. No. You're not saying it right. You don't just have a Stanley, ma'am.
Yes.
Please tell the people what Stanley you got, ma'am.
Describe it. My Stanley is Tiffany blue with my name on it.
Okay.
Engraved in the side.
Yes.
It's the extra little.
It came with accessories like your Stanley went in the motorsport or something.
Okay, listen. She said, I'll take the fully loaded. Thank you.
You're very bougie. Very much like, don't talk to me. You can't sit with me.
I'm so sorry. Can you afford this conversation?
And so once I got it, I was like, everybody else gotta have one too.
Like, we can't just
what?
Yes.
No, I understand.
Me and my crew.
It's okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, just,
you know, I literally was like, ooh, what if we get Black women with opinions across it?
Come on, hey Stanley, if you want a partner.
Oh, we love that.
Hey.
Black women love Stanley.
Black women love Stanley's. Women's History Month is coming up.
Let me make a note of that.
Okay.
All right.
Shoot that email.
What you saying?
Shoot a shot.
Just engrave us a couple, you know.
Yes. Oh, man. That's good. That's good. Oh, it's been a good week, you all. I started off with, I led my women's Bible study, and that was really good.
Oh, my gosh.
It went really well. I was really nervous. It was just a lot getting prepared for it, but I was really excited for how it went. I'm usually the person that runs the technical Zoom. It's on Zoom, so I run like the behind the scenes with it. And it's probably next week probably gonna be 100+ women, so I'm excited. That's what I'm projecting. Every year it tends to be that we start off around 80, and then people find out what they did, and then they end up showing up. So I'm excited. It went good. It kicked off my week. It put me in good vibes. Really good vibes.
It put me in good vibes too. It was a beautiful message. I really did enjoy it.
So I'm gonna be there next week.
Yay. I'm gonna share the link with my mom because I think she would really enjoy it too.
Awesome. Well, we had a good time. And we have different teachers every week, so it'll be good. And it's based off a book from a woman that she lost her husband and how she powered through, and like every chapter is different. So how she powered through, how it transformed like for her kids, so it helps you understand how to get through things. So it's really good, really really good. So
nice.
It was a great week, so I hope all of our listeners had a good week, or at least you're powering through it, trying to make it through.
That's right.
Fake it till you make it.
Okay, every week ain't great, but listen, people keep telling me at my job, because I deal with a lot of folks upper in age, and people tell me all the time, man, it sucks getting old, and I keep telling them the alternative don't sound so great. So I'm gonna just try, I'm gonna go for getting old.
Yeah,
right. I tell my kids all the time, because you know they be like, what'd you like, 30. That's old. I'd be like, baby, it is a pleasure. It is a blessing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just getting started. To get up there in
years.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait to be old.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to cuss folks out. Okay. I'm going to be rude in the grocery store. Get out of my way.
That's the goal.
Yes, it is. Get off my lawn.
But you know what? I really realized, I talked to my mom about it. She like, baby, getting old is trippy. Because in your mind, you still are you. So yes. It's like you're still the 16, 17, 18 year old.
But that's
you.
How I feel now.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, what? I'm the one with adult money? Are you kidding? I don't have an allowance.
You
like,
trust
what?
Me?
You want me to do this and make these decisions?
I saw on TikTok that said, I woke up at 6 this morning and went outside for the bus.
Bus driver looking at me. I'm looking at the driver like, I ain't supposed to get out.
Like, I'm 35 with a
child. Child,
it'd
be trippy. I still have dreams.
Yeah.
I still have dreams. Like, oh my god, I gotta get up and get. I didn't study for the test. I didn't. It,
girl,
still.
Yeah, we.
I ain't been to school.
It's crazy.
Almost a decade.
Yeah, we made it through that.
Okay.
Oh man, but this grown up stuff is real. So just take it how you take it and get through it.
Mm-hmm.
But we hope you all had a good weekend. On that note, we'll be right back.
Okay. Hey everyone, we have exciting news. We got merch. That's right, we have sweatshirts, t-shirts, and so much more. We're dropping our merch this February in honor of Black History Month, and we know y'all are gonna love it. Go to bwwoshop.printify.me to support our Black woman-owned business, and tell a friend to tell a friend. We love you so much, and stay opinionated.
Ouch. So that shit in the struggle was real. Cut the hell out of you.
Injury by straw.
I'm howling. Come on with me.
Hey, you all. So we're going to have a discussion today about colorism and just our thoughts on it and our experiences. We'd love to hear your experiences as well. You can hit us up on our social medias about it. But first off, what is colorism? So colorism is defined as prejudice or discrimination against individuals with a dark skin tone, typically amongst people of the same ethnic group or racial group. For example, colorism with the Black community has been a serious emotional and psychological battle.
Mm-hmm.
We have some statistics surrounding colorism as well. So something to start off on state that colorism roots stem from slavery, in which the lighter skinned slaves were usually promoted as domestic workers in their home, whereas dark skinned workers were working in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
Dark-skinned women are less likely to be married than lighter-skinned women. The difference in pay rates between darker-skinned and lighter-skinned men mirrors the differences between whites and blacks. I thought that was interesting.
Wow.
Darker-skinned women are given longer sentences than their lighter-skinned partners. I know that roots all the way back to, you know, civil rights, you know, post-slavery time
as
well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Some others include, if you're a dark-skinned girl, you are 3 times more likely to be suspended from school than your lighter-skinned peers.
Hmm.
Lighter-skinned black people are perceived sometimes to be more intelligent. Educated black people, regardless of their actual skin color, are remembered by job interviewers more as they are lighter skinned, and just lighter skinned men sometimes are perceived as softer as well versus a darker skinned man. I just wanted to know, first of all, your experiences, or first of all, just your thoughts in general before we jump into experiences on the aspect and I guess the diaspora of colorism. Like, what do you think of it? How has it been perceived in your life?
Yeah, well, I feel like as somebody who is dark skinned, it has been a traumatizing situation. And so there's definitely a personal impact on my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what I see in my community and I see in people that look like me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it feels like another battle, right? Because I'm already a black woman,
right?
So that in itself, being black in itself is a battle,
right?
Being a woman in itself is a battle, being a dark skinned woman in itself is a battle, being natural skin, being plus size, all of those things, they're
right.
All separate battles, and then you compound it all together. I think one of the more harmful battles though is the colorist one, because it does come from people from within your community.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes you feel feel less than, even though we're supposed to have each other's back. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to ride for you, you're supposed to ride for me, and it feels like we are... it doesn't feel like we have been pitted against one another. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, this is dated back to slavery. And to your point, which you, the statistics you were just reading about, you know, darker-skinned people being in the fields versus lighter-skinned people being in the house. Mm-hmm. Both people, well, the darker-skinned people looking at it as more of a privilege to be in the house, but they're still enslaved people.
They were still slaves.
They're still slaves. They may have some better accommodations, but they're still slaves, and the scarier part... And treated just as bad. Right, yeah. And the scarier part is they right there up under master in that house.
So if they make a mistake...
So when or you feel some type of way and come down to your room, or his wife don't like you.
Right.
You feeling that brunt.
Yeah.
It started back then to pit, you know, black against black, and then it's like the separation of one being better than the other is, it's sickening to me, and it's also very sad because I know what my experience was, and of course we'll go into that, but I know what my experience was, and then I see what my experience was being repeated, and little girls younger, I mean just babies, right, that shouldn't have any type of complex about what they look like, but are already being able to identify what society is pushing as the norm.
You're speaking about my experience. We'll get into that later.
We'll get into that later.
What are your thoughts, Thea Weah?
No, for sure. As a light-skinned person, I do... So, it's something in the light... You know, for light-skinned people, they call it light-skinned privilege. And it's very prevalent, and we know it. However, for some of us that don't lean into it, they already expect you to. So, they treat you as if you do. So, I've had my ups and downs with colorism, especially being a black person. I'm still going through those same plights, but I have to have it from my community and from other people, because I'm not light enough to be a part of that community. But now, because I'm a little lighter than you, you feel some type of way about me without me ever having to, say anything to you. So it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard, and it's hard to teach kids that these are not the norms, because it's still in our community today. It's still in our kids today. It's still very much relevant. I literally just got on social media, and Chili was making a, from TLC, she was making a reference, and she was like, I'm caramel, not chocolate. Why was that relevant to make the distinction of?
In society's world, it's better to be caramel than chocolate.
Right. Which is a problem, because it's like...
You're just feeding into it. It's hard to... Well, at least for me, because I have to... Because I grew up in that... You know what I mean? With that being poured down my throat. My sister is lighter skin. My mom and dad are lighter skin. Like, everybody in my immediate family is lighter than me, you know? And so, I know what... That may not be in her heart to feel that way, but then the pressures, and then just not even understanding how you have been indoctrinated into these fucked up thoughts about color and shade and all of that. Like, not even really even understanding the complexities of it, and how you are, how what you say matters. Especially with somebody like Chili, a person of influence.
Yeah.
And you have lots of influence.
Yes. Yeah. It's not specifically even like- in the black community. Specifically,
those are the people who see you, the other caramel, chocolate women who identify with you, see you, and then you be like, oh, well, I'm not chocolate without my tan. I'm caramel. Honey.
What?
Why is that a distinction?
The fact that it was so important for you to make the distinction is just feeding into the narrative that it is better to be this than that.
Yeah. And it is also because she's in an interracial relationship.
Well.
Which plays another factor into it. See,
I know for me, when I was thinking of the question, I was just like, for me, it really ties into societal beliefs. Because I just feel like as a child, seeing, you know, getting, like, going back to, like, Ebony Magazine, Jet Magazine, like, even, like, you remember Jet Magazine had, like, a beauty of the week,
beauty of the month.
Yeah. And, like, just seeing this person, and my mom, my grandma and I, we used to, like, just collect all the Jets and, like, talk about them and just seeing this person, seeing this pattern at some point that it was just like the same woman, just different over and over again. And I don't look like this woman. My skin tone is not like this woman. So I'm a little perplexed by that, watching TV shows and sometimes seeing people. And I would take that in very deeply. So I just think it's important to parents sometimes to think about what their children are seeing, particularly when people don't look like them or have shows and literature, things that they're reading that shows that they can be appreciated too.
Absolutely.
And I think if I didn't have my mother, then I may not have been as proud of my skin tone. I knew I was a big girl. I was very insecure about that as a kid. But one thing I knew is that I was a beautiful little child. But that was because of my mother. And speaking, you know, diving, I guess, into experiences. My mama she is bright. You know, she's a bright spirit, and she has a bright skin tone.
Yes.
She married, you know, a very chocolate man, and I took on that skin color. Mm-hmm. And I was see my mama was beautiful. My mom had a plus size clothing store for 15 years. So you can imagine that. I mean, you see plus size influencers now. Mm-hmm. Basically, my mama was a walking plus size local influencer.
Is that right?
So she left the house every day looking like a supermodel to me, you know. And I'm seeing this lighter skinned woman look like that every day. So I'm saying to myself, I'm just watching shows and TV, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm the definition of pretty, you know. And I'm already struggling with this thing that I'm a little plus size girl, so I'm automatically not feeling pretty for that. But then my mama would just pour into me, honey. You know, you need reassurance sometimes as kids a lot. And I'm like, Mom, I don't feel pretty today. Or, Mom, is my skin pretty? Or, Mom, I don't look like you. You know,
I agree with that.
That was helpful to have positive reassurance all the time.
I think in addition to that, just speaking to the point of like a parent to a child, also have grace for their feelings.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm going to get it wrong, I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of the Mary sisters. So her daughter is not huge, but she's plus size for her age, and she's darker than her mother. And she was on one of their shows, and she was telling her mom that, you know, like, boys my age, like, they don't like me. They don't look at me like that. They just look at me as a friend. They like the light-skinned girls. They like the skinny girls. And her mom kept telling her, no, stop, you're beautiful. But you're beautiful. And she keeps in, and when I watched it, and what a lot of people comment put in the comments, and I agreed with, was that when you do that and not address and acknowledge how your child is feeling, it gives this feeling of, no, how you're feeling is not right. That's not accurate. That's not correct. This is how it is. And that's not fair, especially when it is coming from a parent that does not share that feature. Because her mother is lighter skin. Her mother is thinner. And so you can't, don't pretend like you know what she's feeling. Have empathy for the situation. Listen to what she's saying. Or, in this, you know, just in general, listen to what the person is saying. And then come in with that pouring into, I think this, and I'm sorry that that's how you feel. I'm sorry that that's what's going on.
And don't gaslight them into thinking that's not a thing, because it very much is. And you're just gaslighting them past that. Like, oh, no, you just don't know what you're talking about.
Right, what are you talking about?
That's definitely what's happening on the playground, because they've been conditioned and doctrined in,
and they're listening to their parents and the rappers and the people in the magazines and in the music videos.
And it's still like that today. It's 100%.
It's worse
better.
Today.
It's a, no. I feel like it's worse. I'm talking about with having some other things that we can pull upon, like
more
Gracie's
inclusivity.
But as far as, it's definitely still very prevalent what the beauty standard is.
I think there's more options for the beauty standard.
And that's what I mean. Like, there's other stuff that we can tune into versus it's like, this is what it is. We only have this show, this representation. You know what I mean?
Because back when we were kids, I felt like, well, if it was a black person on TV, that was a black girl. That was a girl.
Yeah, you just accept her whatever shade
she is. Finally, you are clearly a black person in the cast.
Baby, we're rooting for everybody black, because it ain't that many of them. So, But that's not enough, right? Yeah, because right, my right. black don't look like your black, don't look like your black, and so we all should feel represented and seen in yep. our beauty standard. And of course, you know, the whitewashing of the world, because that is ultimately where the trope of lighter skin being better, mm-hmm. because it mm-hmm. can be more assimilated or more passing for white, yeah. versus darker skin obviously being the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And that's not even just in the black community. Mm. Oh, no, that's in the Asian community.
Absolutely.
It is heavily prevalent.
Absolutely.
Skin bleaches skin, so many.
I mean, but oh even in like God. Africa, they. I mean, it's a yes. like a bill, yes. billions yes. of dollars go into it every mm-hmm. year.
Well, you know, when I studied abroad, like I studied abroad yes. in China, and there was basically the Great Wall is a line between China and Mongolia, mm-hmm. and Mongolian people typically. Tilt more towards darker skin mm-hmm. than their Chinese counterparts, and you could just see the separation in their culture that it was. It was almost, you know, very similar to, it was just like an elitist culture if you were Chinese mm-hmm. and if you were Mongolian, it's just mm-hmm. kind of like mm-hmm. they viewed you as you worked with your hands more, mm-hmm. you didn't have as much income, they automatically viewed you as that, and just fighting against that. I mean, I know there has to be plenty of relationships that have developed between Chinese and Mongolian people yes. as they live too close
they're right,
together.
They're right next mm-hmm. door, so, hey, neighbor. You
know, but I can only imagine that families probably have oh, yeah. a feeling about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't speak yeah. to that, but I just imagine that from that side of that culture. That's interesting to think about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. but even within our culture, it's a big... I know I've had family members say to me, you better get out of that sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Girl. I mean? You're gonna get real dark. As if, okay, why is that an issue?
Yeah.
Or dating somebody, you know, the name calling or the comparisons yeah. of skin. Like, it's just... For me, now, it's so triggering that, like, we don't play that shit at all in my household. Mm-hmm. Like, we do not play that. It is all praise for all skin colors.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, because for all of it is black, all of it is gorgeous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every single hue, every single shade of it, I love. We're going to represent it. We're going to love on it. Because it's us. It's yeah. our people. It's our ancestry. It's our culture. We have to be the ones to uplift each other.
We do.
And it's so sad when... outside cultures still have such a prevalent say-so on what we deem to be beautiful within our culture.
Yes.
Because crazy. You can't, because it ain't no black people deciding what Asian people think are beautiful.
Sure in the hell yeah. not.
So I don't understand why it is that, let me take it back. I do understand, but it is disappointing mm. within ourselves that we don't say, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
We are all beautiful. We're gonna appreciate all of us.
Yeah.
And just have that be that. And not listen to the outside bullshit. They have said that's wrong in
that. That takes getting on one accord.
Yeah.
And so many of us are resistant to one accord that is crazy. Cause let's talk about the colorism within colorism.
Mm-hmm.
Because light skinned black people and mixed kids are not the same type of light skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Biracial and then light skin.
Because even just living in this space of like ambiguity, you know, people trying to mm-hmm. figure out
what are you? I had so much of that growing up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I used to get so pissed off because I always was like, I'm black.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was my, I'm black.
And then you feel like you got to prove black. That you black.
Yeah.
Now I got to be the rowdiest bitch, the ghettoest bitch. Mm-hmm. I got to be more black than black.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, ooh, if I wore my hair straight, y'all, it was a relaxer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any of my classmates, it was a relaxer. And I would tell you, I got the same little kinky that curls do. That yeah. you do. It's a relaxer. My hair is heat drain. My mama take me every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That hair be bone straight. They be. So who white? Your mama, your daddy.
Yeah.
Nobody. Like.
And I think that's just such in today's world because there's so many. We're really, truly just a melting pot now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that if you lead with those questions, you're pretty surface level of an individual because.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Like, you know, if you're going to be my friend or a person in my life, we're obviously going to have organic conversation mm-hmm. about it. But when you have to force the conversation, you know, like if you're trying to be my friend or like a coworker or like grow deeper in sort of, you know, a relationship, I'm probably going to bring up to you at some point, like my ethnic background in conversation. We might start talking about food, cuisine, cultural holidays, something of that nature. Let it just happen organically. Well, don't be that person.
The thing about it is
people are nosy sometimes.
They are nosy and they genuinely want to know why I don't look like them or why I don't have the same struggles, not knowing that I do. But why don't you? I literally was working with this
white. Not all of them, though.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I just absolutely
for,
not
for the typewriter warriors.
I just want to make that song
the people clear. Making that song
right. Okay. Song. Because a lot of it is just pure ignorant ass bullshit, and I. Don't get me started. Because I'm telling you, I have so many people like, who white your mama or your daddy? And it's so insulting.
Yeah.
It's so
especially when you're a proud black person. It's like, excuse me. Yeah. I'm bliggity bliggity black. Boom. Yeah.
Black is a don't motherfucker.
Don't do that. Don't question it. Don't matter of fact, low key, we're just gonna.
Well, even for me, because like my dad has passed on, and just for my physicality, I literally copied and pasted my mama's face onto my body, you know. But a couple things. I mean, I have his personality and things of that nature, but like I have my daddy's skin tone, and I take pride in that. Yeah. You know, like that's the one thing I get to hold on from him. You know,
for sure.
So don't make me feel badly about it because it's the one thing I got. You know,
or make it feel like it's because I. Like, the disdain I have just in my blood boils when I heard, oh, you are so pretty for a dark-skinned girl.
I hate that. Because I have a little cousin who is so chocolate, and she is gorgeous.
And she's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just a
period.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Because when you say that, what I hear and what you really are saying is that, oh, you're so pretty despite the fact that your skin is so dark. And that is just not a thing. Because let's be very clear, dark skin is beautiful.
It's
right there.
Just as much as anything else.
Yes.
Anything
so don't make it. It just bothers me to my core.
Yeah.
When that is the narrative, and that is like the wide known narrative, right? Every dark skinned girl has been told something to that effect.
And I will check it because I'm an advocate for brown girls.
Yeah.
That's not my thing. No.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. Oh, y'all cute. Ooh, you cute for a dark. Absolutely not,
no.
Bitch. You want to get it in your throat.
I don't accept that backhanded ass compliment.
It's so backhanded.
And you're not going to do it in front of me like that shit cute.
No.
Like, I have never been a bandwagon woman where, oh, you're just cute and, oh, but look at them. They're exotic with their dark skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got me fucked up.
Yeah.
You're not finna do that.
When we're talking about microaggressions, too, I mean, I know, like, we experience microaggressions in family, at work.
Yeah.
You know, in different organizations. I know I just experienced a microaggression, you know, at work several months ago. Just sitting around. I had an event I was hosting at work. And someone in leadership asked me, we were just sitting around talking about our summer vacations or vacations coming up. Oh, I know you don't have to wear sunscreen. Excuse me?
Why in the fuck would I need? I need it more than you do, white Becky.
Excuse me? In fact, right now I have a wonderful scar on my face because the one time I was on my cruise, the one day I was on my cruise and didn't wear sunscreen, my skin decided to beat me up for it.
See, girl, now we needed some protection today.
This is the day we needed protection. So I'm just like, there are so many assumptions I think that people make.
Yes.
That is just so, and the words that fly out of the mouth, like the utter gall you had to say this to me.
I will say that is not just other people, though.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No.
As somebody who has worked in dermatology, I will tell you, black people think that they don't get skin cancer. They think that they don't need sunscreens and they don't need to get checked. And that's just not accurate.
Not at all.
It's still skin.
Yes.
Okay. The sun said, I will burn you, bitch.
Yes.
I don't care your shade.
This crazy. I've heard things too because you know, like I'm a makeup girl, you know, and I've heard that like in just an aggression that someone made this about themselves, a descriptive they made about themselves. They were lighter skin. They said, "Oh, I can't wear as much makeup as you," And I was saying to myself, like, hold on now. Like,
what you talking about?
And I don't think they were making a dig at me.
I don't even understand that statement.
They can't highlight contour, you know.
Why?
I think they just felt like they didn't have the tools to do
so
their
So say
face.
You don't have the skill set to be able to do your makeup.
Say you don't know how makeup works.
That's more accurate.
That's okay. And if you're not a makeup girly, just
say
that.
That's fine.
Just say that. You don't have to.
It's cool, but don't make it sound like because Cause what do they? I think I'm still confused by the statement.
Yeah, it's okay. They literally told me like, you know, I'm gonna highlight, contour, carve these eyebrows out, all that jazz. You know,
right?
They just told me that they felt like they just couldn't do all the things I do because, and they just leaned into the excuse. Or the reason
being that they were light skinned.
Yeah, and I was like, now, it's a difference between having a more simplistic makeup routine, and that is totally okay.
Yeah.
Having no makeup routine, which is wonderful as well.
Yeah.
To beating your face down to the gods. Like, it doesn't make a difference based on your skin tone.
That doesn't make any sense.
So.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
Yeah, I'm just so lost. Like,
that's what I was saying.
It makes sense to you, bitch.
It didn't make any sense to me. But I was like, well, I guess if that's what you want to lean into, that's not what I would say. But.
Yeah.
I in my older age, because I do have hair from time to time. In my older age, I try to be very careful about what I say and how it's coming off to people.
Mm-hmm.
So at this big age, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Well, because now we have, or should have,
learned
the lessons to know that that shit ain't.
And in retrospect, this happened when I was in college. So let's think about the age we were.
Not even not, better, but.
Yeah.
But more of a, hopefully you have learned now that that was weird to say.
Yeah.
Inaccurate and just weird.
I just feel like that's an aggression you're making to, that's colorism. Because it's just the fact that all you have to say is, friend, I love your makeup. It looks very pretty. I wish I could do that.
Because you can. You just don't know how.
Yeah. It's the thing.
You're just a little red off. I be getting mad because my brown friends don't be knowing how to do nice skin folks makeup.
I don't know how to do it. I am so sorry.
I ain't going to be able to color match you, baby.
I'm so sorry.
Nothing in my makeup caboodle going to match for you.
I'm so sorry, friend.
It's not going to work.
I'm going to make you look like you have black eyes.
You're really not going to like
it. That was not my intent at all.
They're going to say you're doing blackface. That's what they're going to say. I'm so sorry.
Even like once again, like my mama, when we do our makeup, she be like, girl, you got all these steps, baby. She like, I got a foundation and I got a lipstick. That's it. I'm like, okay, girl, well, I'm still carving my eyebrows.
I'll be ready by 15 more minutes.
Oh man, I did want to jump back into some of these statistics though and talk deeper into that.
Yeah, let's do it.
I know when it said like dark skinned women are less likely to be married than light skinned women.
Yeah,
I thought that was interesting. I just know that I think sometimes it's been put like on a pedestal, particularly like with some shows out there and whatnot, what a person may look like. That's me. I just feel like. You marry who you love, you know, but at the same
time,
you should.
But I will say that also with these quote unquote preferences, you exclude out a whole bunch of people because you're looking for this most typically an ambiguous woman. That's the goal. I've literally, a man has said to me, not anybody I was looking to date or anything like that, but just a man that I know has said to me that he was wanting to have another child and he wanted to have a light-skinned baby with good hair. Oof. And when I tell you, I had to stop because I'm sorry, what does that mean? I know what light-skinned means. I got that. You color it. Got it.
Yeah.
What is good hair? What does that mean?
Ooh.
I don't understand.
And how am I supposed to cook that up in my womb?
It disgusts me.
It's disgusting.
It disgusts me. If a man approaches me, because I have been approached with that, like,
I'm sure.
We'll have such a beautiful baby.
Yeah,
well, bitch, you ugly, so I don't know how that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you could never touch me. But, you know, I digress. But it bothers me because it perpetuates some of the situations that I have been in that have not been my fault.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get in certain situations and let's say you have a woman who has been beaten down about her skin tone constantly. Then we become friends and she has internalized that stuff and now it is being projected upon me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. And then you come along and you project, you do that same stuff. This is where it came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because colorism isn't an individual problem. Mm-hmm. It's a societal problem. The same way racism is a societal issue. Mm-hmm. It's something as a whole that can't, that has to be rectified. It's not going to be two or three people figuring it out and now it's problem solved.
You know,
it's not going to be, it's not like that.
No. And I wasn't surprised, but I hated to hear what it said. Dark-skinned women are given longer prison sentences than their light-skinned counterparts.
That, you know, yeah, that doesn't mm-hmm. surprise me mm-mm. either. The same way, like you were saying, like a dark-skinned child is more likely to be suspended longer mm-hmm. than their light-skinned counterpart, because when you are darker-skinned, there is a stigma that is put on you in society. Mm-hmm. That, like you say, you're not as smart, that you are more a criminal, mm-hmm. criminal mind, and or up to no good,
yeah.
or being destructive. Or I remember being a teenager looking for a job, walking up and down Leroy looking for a job. I had good grades. I did after school things. Mm-hmm. I volunteered. I did over 200 hours over what the minimum was to graduate mm-hmm. for volunteer hours. Mm-hmm. I was active in the community, all of that, but I couldn't find a job just with my resume and just mm-hmm. being who I was, because I was going into these places applying in person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, all the umpteen applications, nobody ever called me.
Yeah.
It just, and I'm not saying that that's the only reason, but I know for a fact that it's a part of it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because there were some people that looked lighter than me or different ethnicities than I was that were doing the same thing, less qualified, getting jobs. Like, dang, what, didn't she just get suspended for the fourth time?
Right.
And you done hired her? Yeah. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And it's just, it's sad because that's on the small scale, right? A teenager trying to get a job, but that's how it is in the corporate world.
Yep.
That's how it is in financial institutions. Mm-hmm. That's how it is in the world.
Yeah.
It's sickening, and it can feel like, why do I have to have this extra hurdle?
It's extra. It's funny when you say that about the jobs, you know, this was before I got into resume space. Really, I would never let anybody think this or do this. Yeah. I was just going through, y'all. I was out of school. And I was saying, I was just trying so hard to get a job. I looked at my mom. I said, Mama, what if I just put Eco on my resume mm-hmm. instead of Ebony Co?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, why would you do that? You know, and I'm like, because my name is Ebony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If they're going to know that no. I am Ebony.
But you are Ebony.
Yeah. I was just thinking that same thing. Because if your name sounds like you dark.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a problem.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she was like, baby.
If or they just can't. Black.
Yes.
Girl.
Any type of ethnic. Cause mm-hmm. it's, or just like any, like other. Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Somebody that is from a different country.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Too many syllables in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not easily pronounced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in if you name your children what you want to name your children, just let it be spelled how it sounds. But
please.
if you want to spell it A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and your baby's name is Smith, that's fine with me. You know, I just, you know. Mm-hmm. But
I'm an advocate in make them get it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make them get it right.
Yeah.
Because if they can say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, bitch, they can say Jaquan.
Well, there's an actress. Yeah. She was on Orange is the New Black. Forgive me, I'm forgetting her name, but she is of mm-hmm. African descent.
I know. I've seen her one, too. She, yeah, crazy eyes.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, crazy eyes. Yes. And she had a little social media blurb going around with her. Her mom and her were having a conversation about her name. She came home one day and was like, Mom, can you call me like Izzy or mm-hmm. something like that? And her mom was like, if they can say Tchaikovsky, if they can say Van Gogh,
yes.
they mm-hmm. can say your name.
That's right.
They can learn to
yes.
say it.
They don't want to.
Yes.
They don't want to put the effort forth. They
and
don't
come on now.
Shorten
my
necessary.
Name.
Come
this,
on now.
This same employer I was with that I talked to about the sunscreen, you know, I have no problem. I love my friends chopping and screwing my name. Call me Eb, Ebby. Eb is a form of endearment, but you my friend, and I know you
yes.
love me. Don't just call me Ebby.
Yeah.
And
I don't know you.
That just feels kind of weird.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
And my name is already short. I find sometimes in the workplace as a black person, they try to shorten your name
mm-hmm.
even if your name is already short. My name's only five letters. That's
yeah.
it. That's it. You can't really short.
I think that's short enough.
Yeah. And I'm in the workplace, I want to be called by my full name. Yes. So, because it's professional.
Correct. Yes.
Don't try to shorten my name for your comfort.
Yes.
That's just.
I agree.
It's not hard. You know, Ebony is a wood. It's a type of wood. You know, it's in the dictionary. It's a word in the dictionary. You can say
ain't like your name Mahogany.
Yeah. Something that we added to the loop. We were talking earlier before we started about light skinned men being softer than dark skinned men.
Yeah.
Or being perceived.
And so, you know what? We were watching a video on TikTok and what the person that was recording the video, the point that really stuck out to me past that part was that it's the same mindset of putting the title of masculine on dark-skinned women that you put soft on light-skinned men.
She sure said
it's
that.
It's the same mechanism. It's the same thought process. And that really hit home to me because I am feminine. Mm-hmm. Because that's who I am. I am feminine.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but I definitely feel that I am perceived as more masculine or aggressive or, you know, like hard up on something because of the way that I look. Mm-hmm. If I didn't look how I've looked, if I say something and Chrissia says something and we say it the same way, it'd be perceived very differently.
Yep.
I'm being hostile. I'm being aggressive. I'm being masculine. She's just being assertive. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so in those types of spaces, it can be very frustrating. And there's definitely like just another layer of that line that we as black people in general now have to figure out how to toe.
But that's the sad part to me, because no matter how me or you say it, at the end of the day, we still gonna get treated like we are both black. At the end of the day. So while we continuing to have this fight amongst each other, at the end of the day, we are still bottom of the totem pole. It's who's gonna get two pieces of corn and who gonna get one.
And that's the difference. Yeah. But that's the difference that has to be acknowledged. Is that
absolutely
you getting the two and I'm getting the one.
Right. Absolutely.
And all of us should be getting the whole head.
Right.
Of corn.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
It's
like
we
creating this here when we should be fighting this here.
And it's taking so much time.
Me and you both, we are still at a deficit.
Yeah.
But we're not fighting the deficit. We fighting each other because this person is the one who is divvying it out to us.
Yeah.
They making the distinction of what we going
to
get.
That's why I feel like it is within us to have to fight. Because, listen, it's like actually, what I'm saying is the same thing she said. I've literally had to say that in meetings. I actually just said that. That's what I was saying. But then also understanding that, like, when Becky says it, she's a woman. It's still going to be an issue. There's still going to be an issue, but they're going to take it a little bit better from Becky than they take it from me. And then when Robert says it, it's even better. What do you mean? That's a great idea.
It's even better.
I was literally in a meeting, you know, I had to reprimand a vendor because they made a mistake. And I was told that I didn't need to be as assertive with that vendor. I said to myself, isn't that the reason you hired me?
Don't you want results?
Don't you want results? Don't you don't want this mistake to happen again. Now, what I said, I know I said in a professional manner because that's how I do things. So I understand the difference between being aggressive and being assertive. And I think that as black women in general, we deal with the struggle of that, particularly in the workplace. But it melts into it even differently when you look at it from a colorist perspective. It's like, how soft do I have to be?
How to soften my tone.
You know.
Oh, please. And if you wouldn't mind. It's like, why do I have to beg you when I'm here to be the boss and to tell you how it is and how it needs to go?
It's just such a headache, and it's such a headache trying to filter myself when I know how I can be. I can be professional, and then I can be my Ebony with my you know, my friends and family. That's different. But let me be professional Ebony. Let me ride in that space. Because I'm gonna get the results that you need. You're not gonna get this mistake happen again.
Right.
But if you want me to be all soft, unlike myself and different, number one, I'm not fitting into your company culture anyway. But at the same time, I'm not giving my full self at work, so you're not gonna get the results that you want.
But my problem be that'd be the same way you would handle it. You just didn't like who it was coming from.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You wanted it to be handled, but because of who it's coming from, you feel like, oh, that's too much. But if you were in the situation, and it,
probably worse than
your friend. Probably, right, going off mm-hmm. and threatening to fire them and like right, all the things. Because
you can. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And okay. When we dive even, I think, deeper from work, when we dive and look at family from a colorist perspective yeah. and how our family mm-hmm. has dealt with, you know, I've had stories from my family about not things that I've dealt with, but from the generations, you mm-hmm. know, particularly about, you know, having light-skinned family members treated differently from dark-skinned family members. And not necessarily saying that one was treated better than the other, but just that it was a dynamic that was one subset was treated differently
yeah.
than another. Mm-hmm. And I think that still happens very much so today.
I agree.
Especially if you have a child that a person, family members have children that may be light skinned, and they have in that same family they have mm-hmm. you know someone that is dark skinned. I think it's just it's children. It's imperative to make sure that everyone feels beautiful and appreciated. Mm-hmm. And I think there are microaggressions from parents. They don't even realize that yep. they're over there cooking up mm-hmm. for yeah. their kids. And that's just, that's not good. Because
you really have to watch your mouth with your children, especially the things that you say to them.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't mean it that way. Yeah. You need to watch what you say to children and how you build their self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. And around them, right?
Oh, and around
because you ain't even got to be talking to me, but if I hear you talking about, you can see that dark-ass mother, blah, 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 yeah. blah, 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 yeah. and I'm in earshot and I hear that and I'm a child, well, of course I'm going to be like, okay, so that's how we feel about it. And that's not just that with colorism, that's with everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to be directly saying something or speaking to an individual child for them to pick up on how you feel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if you, as hard as you might, them kids are sponges. They're going to be able to pick up how the atmosphere changes, how your tone changes mm-hmm. when you kick in with your girlfriends, what you're saying, when you talking to your man about whatever happened at work that day and you're talking, you're describing, they're going to pick up on all
everything.
Of that.
All of
and
it.
That is what mm-hmm. they're going to take out in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is it. They do what you do, not what you say.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. just the reality.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so when you behave a certain way, just know it's eyes watching you.
Yeah.
And it's so imperative not to just change the behavior, but change the mindset.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yes.
You can't fake it, right?
No, you can't do
it. It's got to be real. It's got to be, and it's got to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I am so intentional ooh. About the images that I portray mm-hmm. in my I've been to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I am so intentional about the images that I portray to my child.
Yeah.
I want him to see all of it and think that it's all beautiful.
Yeah.
Because yep. it is.
Yeah.
It is all, you know, it's all God's creature. It's all God's creation.
Yeah.
It's all beautiful in its own way. And you don't have to look like this to be deemed beautiful or worthy or accepted.
Yeah.
You can look just how you look, and there are things that you can appreciate about that.
Yeah.
So.
No, I know that it just was so imperative for me growing up with my mom, and just the fact every corner I turned where I didn't think I was pretty
mm-hmm.
or I, mm-hmm. or because of my skin tone. Mm-hmm. Or I said, oh, man, this little girl at school, you know, she made me feel bad. And, you know, she looked like this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, baby, you beautiful.
Yeah.
I named you Ebony for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted a little chocolate baby. Like, the same thing like that. That really helped me as I was growing up. I just think it's good to pour those positive, you know, things back into your kids. Mm-hmm. You just definitely need it. I know, too. I think we want to end and make sure that any advice we may have for people dealing with microaggressions or prejudice amongst their family, amongst mm-hmm. their workplace. The piece of advice that I have
mm-hmm.
is to don't forget who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget the beauty that's inside of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If everything starts on the inside first, you know, and I know yep. that's corny, but it really does. You mm-hmm. have to be a beautiful person on the inside. It literally pours out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It pours out of your skin. It, you know, if, mm-hmm. if people can see that you're not healthy on the inside when on your outside as well. So make sure that you are taking that into account, that you are beautiful on the inside and you know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what people say about you, you know who you are. So.
That was so beautiful.
Thanks.
My advice is a little bit.
Oh, she gonna tell y'all the terrible.
She gonna tell you the terrible. That was beautiful. In my experience, calling that shit out.
Yes.
Wow, that was really colorist. I'm surprised you were comfortable saying that shit to me sitting right here. You gonna make yeah. me feel some type of way about your comment? I'm gonna make you feel some type of way.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna let you know. that, you missed the mark there. That shit wasn't cool. I don't like that. I had a very close friend tell me that I was the first pretty dark-skinned person she had ever met. We were in college.
Ooh.
And
right.
I was taken aback.
For sure.
I was very much taken aback because I was like, okay, how do I navigate this? I don't really know what to say. It's clear to me that you are attempting to compliment me, but I feel very much insulted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, we know tons of other beautiful, dark-skinned women, men, people.
Yeah.
Because, again, she said the first dark-skinned person.
Oh, Lord.
So, call that shit out. Wow, that was a really fucked up thing to say. Why would you say some
make
shit like that?
Make it feel awkward a little bit.
Yeah. Because I don't feel complimented by it. I'm actually quite offended, and I'm going to have to gather your ass up on that note.
Yeah.
So, that's my advice. Call it out. When you see, and that's how I feel about all injustices. When you see some shit, say some shit.
Yeah.
Yep. Because the problem is that everybody keep their mouth closed and their head down, mm-hmm. and then the problem continues to brew and brew, and more generations are affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
When they see that you, when somebody is wrong, and the kids, especially the children, see you call that shit out,
mm-hmm.
now they're empowered to call that shit out when it happens mm-hmm. to them or when they see it.
Yeah.
And you have to be the example in the situation. Like I said, my whole entire immediate family is lighter skinned. And they ride for me. And they affirmed mm-hmm. me all the time. But the biggest thing that I can say that really empowered me was when some shit was done fucked up, it was immediately called out. When
mm-hmm.
that shit was happening with that job, I wasn't the one that brought it up. I was feeling it, but I didn't say anything. My mama said, no, I know exactly what the fuck is going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
If your sister was walking up and down that street, she would have had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to feel like I'm not being gaslit. Oh my goodness. Because it can feel very isolating. Like,
yeah.
Okay, what the hell is going on? Call that shit out. Call it how you see it. And find your community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have to have a safe area to be able to vent and say yep. what it is that you feel and what you're experiencing with like-minded people who can also understand exactly what you're feeling without you having to explain it step by step.
That's mm-hmm. real. That's all real.
That's my advice.
That's cool.
See Mine you. Is along those lines, too. Mm-hmm. Also, with calling it out, be able to hold yourself accountable too,
mm-hmm.
because there are yeah. certain situations where people go through things and it is the reason that they now respond the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
Be accountable for what you say to. Be mm-hmm. accountable for what you have going on. Be accountable for your own self-esteem. Mm-hmm. It is called self-esteem for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Call it out, but also be accountable. Be able to take that same thing and not be, you know, don't be colorist yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to call somebody else out mm-hmm. for colorism because we just going back and forth with it.
Mm-hmm.
Be accountable. Be accountable for your own self-esteem.
Call that shit out.
That's good. That's good for you.
I think so.
I think that's good. All right, you all. We'll be right back.
All right, y'all. It's time to find out who the asshole
is.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to do it a little different. I have two options. I'm going to give y'all the little title, little blurb at the top.
Options.
And you tell me which one y'all want to hear.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one says, am I an asshole for breaking up with my boyfriend because he said I look hot?
Okay.
Doesn't give very much information. The other one says, I keep getting rejected because I'm not light-skinned. Which one y'all want to do for the show tonight?
Let's do the first one.
We're gonna record that one a little later. Okay, so this says I have always been bullied for my dark skin since I was 4. I vividly remember an incident that happened when I was 8. I went to a shop with my mom to buy a dress for my birthday, and I instantly fell in love with this beautiful yellow gown.
Mm.
My mom went to use the restroom, and I went to take a look at this gown. The retail saleswoman walked towards me and said, this is a beautiful dress you got your eye on. Do you think that the color goes well with your skin tone? You are too dark to wear it.
What?
She knew to say that shit when her mama went
Hello?
Around.
Hello? Okay.
Because you shouldn't even be talking to her like that.
Right. I felt dejected, though. I thought to myself that she was right. And I was too dark to wear that dress. I internalized that I was too dark to look pretty from a very young age. In the meantime, my mom came back and I just picked a random dress and we walked out. This was just one such incident, and these were very common for me while growing up, either from my relatives, friends, or strangers sometimes. My mom always tried to make me feel better, saying that I was pretty, but it was just too much for a young girl from everyone else around. I always dreaded shopping and going to the stores. I hated buying new dresses and even stopped trying to look pretty. As I grew older, I started to realize how messed up all of this was and tried to ignore everyone's comments. I started to focus on myself physically and mentally and improved my confidence. I worked out 4 times a week, but still never felt confident to wear the clothes I liked. I resorted to baggy clothes and covered my body from head to toe. When I was 25, I was still working on my confidence. I had a huge crush on this guy. Let's call him John. We would talk almost every day, and one day I expressed my feelings. He dodged the topic that day and never brought it up, and also never asked me out. I understood that he did not feel the same way, and I stepped back, but we still talked almost every day, but just as friends. I continued working on myself and started to step out of my comfort clothes. I started going to the stores by myself. It was nerve-wracking at first, but I did it. I started shopping more and started wearing the clothes that complemented my body, and I gained more confidence when my friends started to support me. I just turned 26, and I was finally feeling that I had made great progress on working on myself. I feel completely confident in my own skin. I even started to get compliments from strangers at grocery stores or at a ticket counter. A couple of months later, John texted me and confessed that he always liked me and that he never asked me out because he was worried it might ruin our friendship. But he wanted to see where it goes and asked me out. Okay. We had a wonderful first date, went on multiple dates, and he was the most gentleman ever and treated me well. 1 month into seeing each other, he asked me if we could make our relationship official and be his girlfriend. Although I thought it was going a little too fast, it felt right and I agreed. We continued having an amazing time together. One day, we had a date night and John had a few more drinks than usual and got a little drunk. We were casually talking and I asked, "What made you wait so long to ask me out on that date, though I expressed my feelings for you years ago?" He scoffed and said, "Oh, you started looking hotter. I would have never asked you out otherwise." I assumed he was just joking and let it slide. I casually brought it up the next day and asked if he would have ever dated me if I didn't quote-unquote get hotter, and he instantly said, "No fucking way." It made me feel worse because he knows I always was bullied for my looks. I always wanted my partner to like me for my personality, and him saying that he decided to give me a chance only because of my looks broke my heart, especially because it felt like all those bullies were right. That little girl could have never gotten a boyfriend like John. I tried to move past it, but I couldn't, and there were a few more other incidents that were insulting to me, insinuating that he never would have looked at me before my transformation. I broke up with him. Am I the asshole?
Hell no.
You're not the asshole for that.
At all.
No, you're not the asshole
at
for
all,
that.
Baby.
You're not the asshole for that.
No, in fact, I hate that that was your experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially when we go back to the yellow dress. First of all, you know, we know on all skin tones, you know, colors are beautiful, but there's just some colors that just
pop. That make you pop.
That just make you pop, honey. So when she said yellow, and I don't even know how you really look, you know, but I'll paint the picture of you in my head.
Dark skin and yellow
even
and
the
orange,
darkest baby. Of the darkest, baby, in those citrus colors. That's what I call them.
Yeah, when you find gorgeous. A color that just pops on your skin, I think in general you lean in towards that. Mm-hmm. So if gorgeous. Somebody puts, you know, some insecurities in you so young, I just hate that was your experience. Yeah. But no, John is very immature. Mm-hmm. And your physicality may have changed, particularly when you started working out more.
Yeah, John was looking for somebody with a whole lot more confidence and stuff than she was giving off. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that it was necessarily that she was, you know, not his, you know, not his cup of tea until, because you was wearing baggy clothes, you was very insecure, you know what I'm saying? So I think that may have been what triggered him. You became confident, you probably had just, you probably was, you know, popping. So he was like, "Yeah, now I'm ready," but he's definitely immature, and I probably wouldn't have given him a chance in the first place.
Yeah.
Because if you can't love me at my lows, I don't need you at my highs.
That part. You know what I'm saying? What happens if I gain the weight back?
What happens if I start wearing baggy clothes again? Because that's just what the fuck I want to do.
Yeah. It seems very superficial.
It is.
And she seems like she has worked a lot on herself, both mentally and physically. And I understand the thought of feeling like, see, he does like me. See, I was always good enough. And then have feeling like the rug was pulled out from under you when you find out that, in his words, you got hotter. So that's when I spent the block.
Yeah.
And that right there in itself is reason enough. I mean, you don't really need no big reasons, in my opinion, to break up with a motherfucker. But that right there is a golden ticket for breakupville.
And like, sometimes you just be so stunned by some of the things some people say to you. It, for me, it's like, I'm so stunned by you, the fact that you had the audacity to say this.
The audacity.
I need time to process it to make sure I actually heard what the fuck you just
said
to me.
That's why she asked him the next morning.
Yes.
Said, that liquor didn't wore off. Let's revisit that conversation. And that for that to be your same action, even more enthusiastically, hell nah, I wouldn't have dated you if you wouldn't have made all of those changes.
He thought it was some type of praise that she had, that she's hot now.
And that is the problem. Look at us on the same page.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Because physically changing is one thing, but you all have been spending time on the phone for months at a time, every day, talking on the phone.
Years.
Yeah.
On the phone, getting to know me, understanding my personality, understanding who I am. And if that was not good enough for you, fuck you, get out of my face, don't call me, lose my number.
That's why I was like, I don't see why she went for him in the first place. Once you got to that place, especially after you already told him
how you felt,
and he kind of basically rejected you,
mm-hmm.
I would have been done. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that I would have revisited that.
Mm-hmm. I think insecurities or the desire to want to be desired can be very, very strong.
Yeah.
And it's very enticing for somebody that you've always wanted to desire you, and now they are desiring you without knowing the reason. But also, when he's spin the block after you have made this transformation, in my opinion, that should have been a red flag right there.
That's kind of what I mean. Like,
it should have been a red flag right there, but I understand wanting to see
what's going on with it.
Because I feel like she's young as well.
Yeah.
She said 26.
Yeah,
so that's about metamorphosis age. That's about the age where we start wanting to look for settling down and stuff. So I could see how she thought he may have been a good candidate. But rejecting me back then, and then all of a sudden, once I, you know, am coming into my own, now all of a sudden you interested, get out of here.
Yeah,
and no one, her feelings need to be validated, I feel, because you deserve to feel hurt.
Absolutely.
That is okay to be in that space. Yeah.
You are not your physicality.
Yeah, no, you are not. And I feel like, you know, it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to acknowledge that he talked to you, you know, more than incorrectly, but just reckless.
Yeah. Like, he wanted to get slapped.
Yeah, that's really what he wanted.
Well, he thought it was a comment. I mean, a compliment. And that's the really big problem, is in knowing you, he thought this was going to be a compliment.
He thought that was it. He thought that's what it was to say.
Yeah, you were so insecure, but baby, you're bad now. That's why I'm liking that you're bad. What?
Sometimes people, you have to realize too, that some people don't think before they speak.
But I wonder if she watched him be in other relationships too, and talked to him about these, you know what I'm saying, like other stuff that was happening, and she ignored those red flags too.
We can ignore red flags, you know, we really can.
Girl, what? I'm sorry, who the fuck did I marry? TikTok, ma'am.
Oh, honey.
Listen, we all got some of that in us. Let's not pretend like we don't. The Lulu be real. What? No, didn't see that. Put my reflective glasses on. I didn't see any of that shit. No, girl.
We're just all mystified. It's like this veil up sometimes when you just really like somebody.
And if
it's
you
like,
want it really bad,
yeah,
when you want it really bad, you can excuse away some shit.
Yes.
You really can. And so, and I feel like partly that was that. I feel like it was the confirmation that she was looking for of like, okay, I am who I feel like I'm changing into. And unfortunately for him, it was more physical than mental and emotional and spiritual and like supportive and like what you should be looking for when you try to partner up with somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He seems very much still in the physicality mindset, which if that is your priority, always
had been.
Yes. Yeah. Which is, well, I mean, clearly he had been. That's why he wasn't interested in moving forward in the past. And to that, I would say you're too mature for him, baby.
Yeah,
he's not on your level yet, honey.
Not at all.
He can't even see where you are. He can't even comprehend the mere fact that he thought that shit was a compliment and that you should have been ecstatic. Or even if he didn't think it was a compliment, if he just thought that it was okay to say, just thinking it was okay to say that you wouldn't be irate by it.
The only reason I think he thought it was compliment because he doubled down and was like, hell
yeah.
And I can only imagine the nigga was like, hell yeah, bitch, you hot now. Like, and you was going to be like,
he thought he was saying something.
Because he wanted you to live in the thought that you were less than before.
Yeah, I'm glad, though, that she recognized this for what it was. Yes. Because a lot of women will be like, oh, yes, he thinks I'm so hot. I must have just been less than before, but pick now I am there.
No.
Yes.
Pick me behavior.
So I'm glad. Yes, ma'am. So you are not the asshole, and I'm very proud of you for stepping out from under somebody who you did want so bad and who was so validating to you. I'm very, very, very proud of you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And don't let him make another lap around. Let it be done.
Oh, please. The track should be closed.
Yes.
I don't care if he mature and he come back with a Rolls Royce.
Let him mature to somebody else. Yeah. Hopefully this will be a lesson learned for him. Drop that motherfucker like a hot potato and keep it pushing.
Because he is detrimental to your mental.
That part.
Yes.
Because you'll always question. Again, like if this was a long-term thing, you have children or get sick or anything could happen and your physicality changes, is his feelings going to change?
Right.
Because you're not quote-unquote hot anymore.
Do you go back to being the woman in obscurity to him?
And let me also just preference this. There's a man out there at your biggest and your baggiest clothes that will say, damn, that woman right there is bad. So, please just
Or somebody who has been pursuing you on the side and you do not recognize them because they may not be what you think.
Right? Yes.
I even challenge you on your next day to wear a yellow dress or a yellow
I love that. Yes. I agree 100%. Get you a few bags.
Put it on and do orange and some red too.
Yes.
Put it on.
I don't care what you wear, honey. If you want to wear a power suit for all I know.
Okay. I also like coral.
Put it on. Make yourself feel good.
Put it on.
And watch him.
Memory.
Watch him drool. Watch him look at himself like, damn, what I done messed up.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you are the prize, honey.
Yeah.
And if he didn't see a thing, he don't get to have it now.
Mm-hmm.
Been the prize. And you've worked way too hard on yourself to go out like that. So I just want to say I'm proud of you one more time.
Kudos
for coming from out from under him.
You did that.
You did that. We're all proud of you for that. Yes. So you are not the asshole, boo.
At all. Mm-hmm.
In fact, you're the queen.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, he's probably the asshole.
We're going to stick to that.
Yep. There you go, baby girl.
Yes. Tell them the black woman with opinions said it.
We said it. We put our foot down on it. Oh, man. On that note, you all, we'll be right back. To tie in with this episode, our affirmations are about our beautiful skin and our beautiful black culture. So let's just say them, okay?
Okay.
So my melanin is a crown of glory.
My melanin is a crown of glory.
My skin is a testament to my heritage and resilience.
My skin is a testament to my heritage and resilience.
And resilience.
The punch still hitting, y'all.
Yes. Okay. All
right. I embrace the luscious hues of my skin.
I embrace the luscious hues of my skin.
My melanin is a source of power.
My melanin is a source of power.
And the last one, my melanin is a divine gift.
My melanin is a divine gift.
I know that's right, ladies.
That's right.
Love who you are. Embrace who you are.
Okay.
And on that note, stay opinionated.
Stay opinionated.
Stay opinionated.
Bye, y'all.
Hey, y'all. We just want to remind you that you can listen to each episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube. Search Black Women with Opinions and make sure to subscribe and click that share button. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Black Women with Opinions Podcast. You can follow us on TikTok and X, formerly known as Twitter, at BWWO Podcast. And lastly, make sure to subscribe to our Patreon at Black Women with Opinions Podcast. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it so much. We love you and stay opinionated.